Would you turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Kings, the second chapter. We've been moving through the Gospel of Matthew in our Sunday morning services, and I'm going to reverse the order today. Sunday evenings, we've been spending around the lives of Elijah and Elisha. And we've looked just one time at the beginning point of the ministry of the prophet Elisha. And this morning, I want us to see the secret of that ministry. Today is promotion day, and I want us to look at two men in the Bible who experienced significant promotions, both of them in the same chapter of God's Word. One was Elijah, closing out his ministry, and if I may so say, promoted to glory, promoted to heaven, by a whirlwind chariot of fire that carried him up to the heart of God. And then Elisha, who was promoted into the office of prophet to be the successor of his master Elijah. So 2 Kings, the second chapter, and I hope you'll just keep your Bible open there. And let me ramble a little bit at the beginning to establish some background, give some significant things about this man's ministry in order to prepare the way. I want to share some things this morning that are not at all original with me. They come principally from one other preacher's heart, as far as I know, maybe beyond that. But I want to begin with some ideas that came to me in reading about 2 years ago outside the Bible in some literature that was written about Elijah and Elisha. And it gripped me with such strength and force that I want to share it with you today. 2 Kings, the second chapter. Just keep your Bible open there. We're going to be moving through in a tour through the opening chapters of 2 Kings. Now, except for Jesus himself, Elisha is the greatest miracle worker who ever lived. As far as the volume of miracles concerned that came from his hand, as God channeled his power through him, Elisha is the greatest miracle worker, except for Jesus himself, who ever lived. There is a tremendous stream of miracles flowing from his fingertips, principally in the first 12 chapters of 2 Kings. And running through Elisha's miracles, there's one common denominator. There is one predominating characteristic. And it's very evident once you see it. It's the operation of the uplift of a divine life power that overcomes the downdrag of death power that is prevailing because of circumstances and sin and all the terrain round about. And when Elisha arrives, he breaks in by the power of God into the prevailing death, and immediately a life lift begins to take place in the community where he's found. And this becomes very evident when you study the miracles of Elisha in the early chapters of 2 Kings. Let me give you just a few as samplings. In chapter 2, beginning with the 19th verse, the men of the city of Jericho come and say, "This is a pleasant city to live in. It's a resort area. It has plush possibilities. It's a tremendous fruit growing and truck crop growing area. But the water is bitter. And there's no way we can fertilize the crops with water, because the water is bitter and the water only succeeds in destroying the crops." And so Elisha called for a cruse and asked that salt be put in it, a new cruse, and asked that salt be put in it. He went to the main spring of the waters, flung in the cruse of salt, and the waters were healed. And the Bible says, "There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." So the very first miracle he performs after his calling and the falling of the mantle of Elijah upon him is the uplifting power of life overcoming the down-dragging power of death in what the Bible calls the healing of the waters of the spring at Jericho. In chapter 4, you find another significant miracle of Elisha. He had come in his prophetic office to a certain place, Shunem. And there lived there one identified as a Shunammite woman. She was a great woman of faith. She didn't have any children. And she and her husband set apart a room that became known traditionally and historically as the prophet's room for him when he came that way to abide in that room. And they cared for him with food when he came to live in their home in that room. And one day he called her up to his chamber She stood in the doorway and he said, "Because of your greatness, I want to know what you would like. One wish." And then he declared to her that she was going to have a child. And she said, "No, it can't be. I'm beyond years." He said, "No, it will be. By the power of God, you'll have a child." And the Bible says that she and her husband, she conceived. They bore a child and the child became grown. Elisha continued as he came to Shunem to minister there, to live in the prophet's room. And one day when the child was grown, it was out in the field, apparently suffered heat stroke and died. It was carried back to the house. She carried it up into the prophet's chamber. And if you recall the story, he stretched himself on it. We'll not go into the details of the story, but as he touched the body, breathed upon it and into it, the child was restored back to life again. And this is a second significant miracle in a series of miracles in which the life energy of resurrection power overcame the down-dragging pull of sin and circumstance and death. In the fourth chapter, the closing verses, you find another representative miracle. There was a drought in the land. The sons of the prophets needed food to eat. They set on a great pot on fire and seethed pottage for the sons of the prophets. In other words, a big pot of pottage was cooked for them. But somebody had gone out and gleaned some poisonous herbs and a wild vine and wild gourds and had put them in there. And when they came to eat, they had been eating a little while when apparently someone experienced something in his stomach. And one of them rose up and cried out, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And Elijah called for meal. He said, "Do not be frightened."